I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Mill Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. And if anyone has a spare fridge, they need a fridge. If you know anyone or if you can help in any way, they are on Twitter at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall and I will pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Millwall after another nondescript home defeat at the Den. Tell me if you've heard this joke before, listeners. I've lost count of how many games that have got away from us at the Den now. Joining me on the show to chew over yesterday's awful, awful performance in the end is the bad boy of South East London sports journalism. It's Mr. Ryan Loftus. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Good morning after the night before. Morning, Nick. How are you doing, mate?
It's hard to fight off a sense of miserable resignation, Ryan, and this is not what going to Millwall or following Mill's meant to be all about, but Jake Sanders summed it up. We've won 4 home games in 24 at the Den since last January, January 2020, which is appalling home form. The reasons that lie behind that may be manifold, but it's just unacceptable. I can't think of... I'm running out of new descriptions for it all. How did you see yesterday's ultimately poor show against Bristol in the FA Cup?
It was a bit of an odd one because it's... I think with the season we're having, it's one of those where you take any win you get and you take any loss you get quite significantly. I think most years, if we'd have lost like that in the cup and we were doing all right in the league, it wouldn't feel too bad. But I think after a midweek win where you think we're maybe looking up, it's a hard result to take, and it kind of compounds the feelings that everyone's been having recently. But it's like the first goal, obviously, is penalty. Millwall were on top until then, to an extent.
To a degree.
Second goal, deflected free kick, even though Bristol were looking the better team in the second half. And then the third goal kind of on the break as we're trying to get one back. So I think all three of the goals are the scoreline at the end doesn't look good, but all three of the goals kind of follow the pattern of the game. But it's more the performance side of things that really let you down. I think, like we said, Mill started well. I think we were definitely the better team for the first 20 minutes. Had more chances, just couldn't quite finish them. But I mean, that is many times we've had this season.
It's that, isn't it? Lack of clinical finishing, which has cursed us for how long now? Forever, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, we seem to do this really weird thing that, and it's clearly happening quite regularly, that the first 20 minutes will be looking good, looking solid. The other team's not creating much. We have a few chances, but don't quite take them. And then as soon as 25 minutes rolls around, everyone drops.
Yeah.
Everyone drops and goes, right, we're 0-0 at this point. That's great. Now let's just hold out for the rest of the game. And it's a bit like what happened under Harris, I think, towards the end of Harris's reign, or the back end of his reign, especially, that, you know, we would not, you know, I think I said it before he left about us almost considering lucky to be in games rather than going to kill teams off. And I think Harris would get to the point where we're drawing. That's great. Let's just keep drawing. And now we were going for the win, but now let's stop. And we seem to be at that stage with Millwall where, you know, the Bristol City game, when we were having a bit more of the ball and creating a lot of chances, like Parrott and Bennett and Bradshaw had all had a few pop shots. And then all of a sudden, we just completely switched and everyone dropped off. We let Bristol have the ball. And that's where their goal came from. It was really quite poor defending to let the penalty in. I think Viner got in a load of space before getting him in, and it was. I've just seen today someone say the penalty wasn't a penalty. Like, it's a stonewall penalty.
I thought it was in real time. I haven't seen it since. They didn't show an awful lot of the incident on BT, but it looked like a penalty, you know. I mean,
it was a classic one of those where the striker just gets there first and nips the ball out of the way and just gets taken out. And I think Fielding didn't really complain much. He knew that it was, you know, a bit slow off his line, but then also it's one of those 50-50s that happens. And it does kill the game for me, I think. At the moment, going a goal down for us is... It's just killer because it's so hard for us to get one goal, let alone two, to win a game. And as soon as it's 1-0 down, that's it. You might as well switch off because you know the best we're going to get out of this is a 1-1 draw.
I mean, we had no... Is it no luck or is it lack of quality? I don't know. We'll probably think about that later as the conversation proceeds. But you're right. I mean, we weren't doing badly. We had chances, a couple of shots in the 8th minute. I'm seeing Bennett's had a go. I thought Bennett looked reasonably hungry yesterday, incidentally.
Yeah.
And chances after the penalty. And the penalty was a tough break, Ryan. I think there were errors both in defence and even Fielding showing naivety and clattering the man because... You know, that you're going to get a penalty every time if you touch a striker inside your own box. But that said, but when the half closed, I thought we'd looked reasonably bright. I don't think we were on fire, but we didn't look too bad. We'd conceded yet another, unforced error, so to speak, with the penalty. But there's no reason at half time to think that we couldn't get back into this game. And nor, in truth, the starting 11, did it look that bad to me? I mean, I might query Fielding and I might query Pierce. But otherwise, that 11, I wouldn't be unhappy with that, to see that starting in a regular league game. But there's just no fire in the belly. There's no fight back. I mean, you nailed it there. You know, we're going close and then our heads drop as soon as there's a setback. Well, that's not good enough at championship level, Ryan, is it? I mean, you're going to go nowhere. You're going to go downwards with that kind of attitude.
No, it's a hard one because it's when you're down and you don't get much luck. Like, I mean, we don't get a load of luck anyway. I mean, we had a bit of luck in the Huddersfield game and that probably used up our quota for the week. And
luck rations, don't we?
I think we do. I think once a month we get a luck token, and I think that missed penalty against Huddersfield was a use for it. So let's hope we don't need it against Watford. But it's an odd one because, yeah, like you say, the team wasn't necessarily weak. You know, there weren't a load of kids in it. And they were all players who you would expect to at least feature in a game. You know, like, they would at least play. Like Pierce, okay, I know there's big question marks over him, but he would play if we're playing a back three most of the time, or has been up until the last time we did. Ferguson, you know, people want him to start a bit more maybe, or at least get on the pitch. Same with Thompson. The front four are all people who should be competing for starting places, but it wasn't necessarily a weak team. I know Aaron commented yesterday about the strength of Bristol City squad, and it is a really strong squad. They've got players in there. It's a big squad that they have. So when they change six or seven players, they've still got a pretty strong team. But our team by no means was weak. But it's an odd one. It's, you know, it's the cliche of when you're down, and when you can't get luck and you're out of confidence, everything becomes that much harder. And when Gary Rowett said it, I think since last season, that we have to try really hard, really, really hard to score one goal. And it's been a problem for a long time now that we can spend 90 minutes working as hard as possible and we will get one goal out of it. And there's not many teams who have that problem. And so when you do change the team, or when that energy level or the effort level is just slightly off, it's almost impossible. And it's a really big problem that I know people want the squad freshening up, and I know people, players coming in, but it is something that I think is going to be a personnel issue at this rate, because the way the games are coming thick and fast, I don't think it's possible to completely change your luck and your attitude around, and you can't sit and breathe and get your energy back at all. There's no chance to do that this year. So something is going to have to give. Or Millwall are going to have to go very much back to basics and go, right, from now to the end of the season, we are aiming to get every single game 0-0. We're going to clear it, defend deep, kick it away. And if we can get a goal, we will try. But our priority right now is to not lose games. And I don't know which way is the right way to go, to be honest. It's a it's a hard decision for Rowett to make.
Absolutely. Well, talking of freshening up the squad, joining us on the call now is Radio 5 Live's Aaron Paul. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Nick Hart, you segued like a pro there, mate.
I study at the feet of the best, mate, at Love Sport Radio, you know. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
What? Where?
Radio 5 Live
now. Defunct.
Yesterday's performance, Aaron, you were there. Ryan has just been telling us the faults as he sees it. I find it's the mediocrity that's killing me. I can take getting beat by Bristol, you know, and I can actually endure getting beat 3-0 if it's a fully fledged open game of fire and brimstone. But yesterday was just such a capitulation after the unlucky deflected second goal. I think that was probably the moment where the game slipped out of our grasp. But after that, where was the fire? Where's the spine? Where's the backbone? Where's the mill spirit? It just isn't there in this squad, and these players are not playing for Gary Rowett, rightly or wrongly. What how do you see
something? I don't know if they play. I don't know about the whole if they're playing for Gary Rowett, etc., etc. Nick, it's they're not good enough. That's the fucking simple long and short up and down of it. They're not good enough. I've just had Michael Wills. I think he's quite a regular listener.
Michael yes, Wills. He is, Michael. Yeah.
Just start asking me to name him, shame. Happily. Mm. Happily.
Okay.
Let's start from the top, yeah? Yep. We'll start from the bottom. Let's go with Bodvarsson, shambolic. Tom Bradshaw, shit. I'm sorry, he's crap. He's not good enough.
Mm. I don't disagree with Tom Bradshaw. One of the things that listeners and everyone will be picking out from yesterday is we looked bright. On occasions in that first half, we looked bright without ever looking dangerous. There's no power. There's no championship level strike force.
They're just aimless running.
Yeah. Well, there's just no danger when we have the ball in front of goal. There's no one's worried, are they? Really? Opposition teams know we're not going to score. Quality is an issue. I mean,
quality and quantity. Very, very quickly, the players that need to go, Bodvarsson, Bradshaw, Skalak, who I can't believe actually came on yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I was shocked when I saw, I couldn't believe it. Troy Parrott, I'm sorry, he's a kid. He's a kid who...
Shown us nothing, Aaron. Shown us nothing.
He's 18. Nick, he shouldn't have... He's not even scored a professional goal in his career.
Yeah. Well, he's not looking like he's going to score one either at the moment, is he?
Oh, my God. You know, I think there's others in that. I think Alex Pearce is okay. I don't think he's quite good enough.
There's a sense of mediocrity about the squad. I do agree.
It feels
Ryan,
like a bod job.
Ryan, I mean, you're a student of the championship and what other teams have compared to what we have. We do feel very mediocre. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say below mediocre, to be honest, at this point. I think our squad is so weirdly made up. We're lacking good players in really key areas. I agree with Aaron about like who needs to go. I think it is particularly hard to get rid of players in this time, as hard as it is to bring them in. I think people didn't pay attention when the League One and League Two salary caps came in. People didn't pay that much attention that, although that's bad for League One players in terms of maybe keeping players and balancing their squads right, but it's also now impossible to offload bad Championship players because no one can afford to pay their wages. Who's going to be taking Bradshaw on, you know, maybe a five-figure salary or whatever he might be on, you know, or a higher end of a, you know, 7 or 8 grand a week. If you've only got
people are doing deals, right? Brian, people are doing deals, mate. People are doing deals. Yeah. If QPR can go and get themselves, and QPR are skint. QPR are so skint that they can't pay with money. They're not allowed to anymore. Yeah. It's like they're just there. They don't have any money. They have, you know, they're up to their eyeballs in fines and debt. Yeah, they're going to sign Charlie Austin. And apparently they're going to go and get Stefan Johansson from Fulham. I mean, Johansson's one. I wanted to bring it up, Nick. I can't believe. If Gary Rowett can safely say, we're not going for Stefan Johansson and gives you a reason like, oh, well, you know, Ryan Woods is better. Johansson's a winner. He's been out of this division before twice. He got promoted with West Brom as well.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he went out with West Brom. Did he go up with their squad, West Brom?
Yeah, I think so. He was on loan from Fulham. As soon as they went up, he went back out. But that is a problem, Aaron. I think who we sign, and Ralph said after the game yesterday that it's really hard. We've had refusals from quite a few teams about the players we want to bring in. But it's one of those. I mean, I know the summer, I don't think that we recruited well this summer. I know what you think about the recruitment, Aaron, and I completely agree. I think I said it last time I was on that our recruitment's been really, really poor. The areas of our squad that need addressing don't get addressed. Like Parrott may have been an opportune, you know, a prospect and a, you know, like, oh, we need the striker. But, and I know people will a lot of think we need a striker, but we don't. We've got five strikers on the books who collectively, I was saying it to you yesterday, Aaron, who collectively have about 8 goals or 9 goals between them. 5 or 6 strikers. If I was Matt Smith, I'd be not just knocking on Gary Rowett's door, I'd be kicking his door off the fucking hinges. Being like, why am I not playing? All of your strikers can't hit a barn door. No one can do anything. How the fuck are you not playing me? I was top goal scorer last year. I scored 90 seconds off the bench on my last game, and you will not start me. I mean, and I don't think Matt Smith's the way to go, but if I was him, I know he's getting on, but everyone else, you can see Zahor doesn't look fit yesterday. He was walking everywhere. You can see everyone else is offering nothing. And if I'm Matt Smith... Mate,
on his day, let me tell you something. Zahor, on his day, is a class act. The problem service. Yeah?
Service, I agree.
Service. Very simple. You have a striker of that cut, of that mould. You don't get him to do the running, yeah? It's like Matt Smith. You don't get him to do running. No. You play the ball into his feet. You play the ball up to him. You work with what you've got. That's the problem. It's literally like a mishmash. Parrott, don't know how he is. Really let his kid, you know. Bradshaw, does he want it into his feet? Well, not really. He's not good enough. Does he want it into his head? Well, probably not. He's not big enough. You know, Bodvarsson, let's be fair, no one even wants him to get the ball. Yeah, like, he's a disaster. He's an absolute disaster. And Matt Smith, you lump it up to him. And you know what? Again, Matt Smith, I'm completely agree with Ryan. Completely agree with Ryan. You know, he should be kicking... Also, that's my alarm. I apologize. He should be kicking the shit out of... I have no intention of waking up at this time either.
That's probably Gary Rowett calling in to complain at the tone of the show.
Gary Rowlett.
Rowett.
Yeah. It probably is. But, you know, I actually want to bring something up very quickly. I was doing some research because a friend of mine was talking about a gentleman called Alex Aldridge, who was the head of recruitment.
It was indeed. Aldo, yeah.
And got poached and went to... City. Did you know that before joining Millwall, did you know that he was a newspaper journo?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He created the News at Den website. Alex is quite well known and he's carved out this career as, after all of that, as a scout. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how.
Okay. What I'm going to say to you guys is, Ryan, get prepared, lad. Get ready. Because you're next.
Call comes.
The call is coming. I just want to say to Alex Aldridge and to the next head of recruitment, what do you guys do Monday to Friday?
Well, what I think they study football. Was it the Championship Manager? What was it called?
Manager. They set that,
and stats thing, you know.
But where are the stats going? Are they going into a shredder? Is someone getting the paper and going, yeah, fuck it, I'm not interested? Is it... where are these stats being used? How are they being used? Why are Millwall picking up a player like Tom Bradshaw but not saying Corley Woodrow? You know, live in London, you play for Fulham, come and join us. Why do you want to go let the bands live? You know, like, there's so many examples of players where you look, you see it, you see a side signs them, and you think, you know what? He'd be a good addition. He'd be a good addition. Yeah, he'd be all right. He'd be all right. He'd be all right.
Well, I think
where are these guys going? Yay, nay, yes, no, yes, no. Like, I'd love to really look into the recruitment process of this club because, Nick, let's be fair, a year, a year ago. I'm gonna say a year ago. I don't even know what time frame. So 6, 7, 8 months to a year ago, Millwall were 2 to 4 players away from actually challenging properly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually challenging properly. Because you had the core there. You had Bart, you got Jake Cooper and Hutch, you got Jed and granted up front shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can build around those that team. You can build around that spine. And you can supplement that spine. Right now, the spine is on its arse because they're knackered. Very, very simply, squad depth has never been more crucial. Never been more crucial. And if clubs can go out there and they can top up their squad, they can loan well. They don't even loan well, Millwall. Like, you look at it, fucking hell. They don't even loan properly. No. You know, Woods, Malone's, but there's 5 loan berths. I'd send Troy Parrott back, mate, in January. What are we waiting? What are you doing? The experiment's over.
The question to, I mean, I actually posed myself a question to, as a point of spark for this show. Is there a lack of quality amongst the squad? Well, we've kind of answered that. I think there's probably a consensus that yes, there is.
2 big ticks next to that one, Nick.
Yeah, 2 big ticks from Ryan there. So there's that question. I'm going to add a third one. And is there a lack of quality in the manager? There's another big question. But to that, then we've got to add, is there a lack of quality in the infrastructure of the club, the recruitment process? Because that's perennial. You're right, Aaron. I mean, you know, appointing Alex was... that was a Neil Harris appointment. It was an odd choice, given that other clubs do it so much better. Maybe there was a sense of gambling, taking a punt on an unknown boy.
There. Very quickly, Dick, the back end has gone out of it. The back end's gone. You know that sense of fight you used to have?
Yeah.
It's fucking gone.
This is where we'd reached yesterday. And Ryan, I mean, you know, we went 2-0 down, unluckily with a deflected free kick. I mean, there's really not much that I'd expect any goalkeeper, let alone Frank Fielding, to do with that free kick. So we're 2-0 down and the game is moving out, and it's a one-off cup tie. So where's the arsehole? Where's the spine? Where's the Millwall fire to say, well, okay, we may be going out, but we'll go out fighting? Because there was just a general acceptance, and that is the most unforgivable thing in any side, whether you're in Beckton Park or anywhere you like. But to give up, which is kind of what we did, is a massive indictment of the players. But I can't escape the manager either. I mean, how do you see the Rowett situation in that way?
I think you can't not put blame on both. I think you put a tweet out yesterday saying about the quality, and someone said, you know, well, it's not the players, it's the manager. But yeah. You can't have one without the other. I think the players aren't necessarily good enough, but at the moment, Rowett clearly isn't getting the right tune out of them. And I think what was interesting at the Huddersfield game, he slightly adapted the system. I think played an actual number 10, played 2 strikers, let the wing backs do all the wide work rather than having a left and right winger ahead of them. And we blocked up the midfield a bit more, and we got forward down the wings. Malone and McNamara, I think, are really 2 good attacking wing backs in that situation. And it was a small tactical change. Doesn't have to be a massive overhaul, just a small change that worked and that offered something different that it took 16 weeks to reach. Mm. And it's, or 16 games at least. I know it's probably about 4 weeks you fit that into at the moment. But it just doesn't seem to make sense about why there isn't much he seems to be doing or much he is able to do. I'm sure, you know, he is scratching his head and is poring over it. But then that is also goes hand in hand with he turns around at the squad, looks at the players he has and goes, but what else can I do?
You're listening to Aston Millwall.
We're going to take a short break in the conversation to hear the views of Harry and Mike. But before we do, I want to just express the podcast support for the Lions Food Hub. It's on Twitter. At Lions Food Hub. It's a local food bank based in Bermondsey, working out of the Rennie and Manor Estate Tenants Hall, run by our very own Kelly Webster. The podcast this season will be supporting the Lions Food Hub. It's a fantastic cause, one that I hope we can all get behind. Follow them on Twitter at Lions Food Hub.
Achtung, Millwall.
Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Disgraceful result, in all honesty, to lose 3-0 at home to a side which are not a lot better than us. It was a strange game, to be honest. I thought in the first half we actually played quite well. Rowett got it right, I think, formation-wise, because we did cause them problems. We got in space, we were playing some nice stuff. But ultimately, we just don't have the quality to finish chances. There were several where you just think, we've challenged the keeper, but they're just such tame efforts. And a better side would have put that game to bed in the first half an hour with the kind of areas and chances that we got in. And then fumbling fielding makes a terrible mistake and we find ourselves 1-0 down through a penalty. But I thought we were unlucky to be behind at half time. But what the fuck was said in that second half team talk? We just completely got rolled over in the second half. It was as bad as the Coventry and Forest performances. I just don't know what happened. No organisation, no idea, no creativity. Defence looked leaky. The second goal, the wall was in about three parts. I mean, I don't know if anyone else noticed that, but of course it's going to be a deflection. All he had to do was hit it into someone in the wall and it's going to go in. And then the third goal, you know, was just a breakaway as we tried to push people forward. But it was a disgrace in the second half. And I just don't know. This just sums up the inconsistencies of the performance. But just this time, we've seen it over 90 minutes rather than separate games. But an unacceptable result, really. It's another grim Saturday for Lions fans out there. Hopefully we can concentrate on the league a bit more now, clutching at straws for positives. But we've got to try and bring in a forward player. Apart from Jed Wallace at times and Zahor at times, none of them are good enough, really. You know, anyone can see that. We've got a lot of them. But if a few go out the back door at Calmont Road, I wouldn't be complaining. And we need to strengthen. We've got a week to go in the transfer window, so let's hope this new head of recruitment can actually do a bit of good business and bring someone in, because we are crying out for some quality in that final third. Please sign someone. Come on, you lads.
Well, full time at the Den, 3-0 to Bristol City, a side that a month ago we managed to win 2-1. No, not 2-1. We won there anyway, and they had a man sent off. And you can tell the difference in the performances. The performance that night was decent. Millwall punished a poor Bristol City side, in all honesty, on that night. And the roles were reversed today. Millwall were terrible. The players that were picked were obviously picked for rotational purposes, I'd assume. Some probably have been knocking on the manager's door to get into the squad. And what they put on is unacceptable in the extreme. It's the third time Millwall conceded 3 goals in recent games, especially at home. I don't understand, if I'm being honest, the decision to rotate the players in this game when we didn't rotate the players in the game against Borehamwood in the Cup. This was a more you've won. No, take the credit to him in midweek. Rowett picks a side that we all slagged off, and they win. He decides to, you know, pick another side today. Doesn't capitalise on the momentum of the midweek win. Got a game against Watford on Tuesday. Yes, I understand it's going to be a hard game. But you don't drop Leonard, who probably is going to be your legs and work in the middle. You play Thompson again, so Thompson's not playing Tuesday. And you go, you know, Pearce is done and finished. I don't understand. We're helping other clubs develop their players when our youngsters are probably better than our players that we've got here. And I'm just fed up of it. I'm sick of it. I can't say that I agree with everyone turning around and saying that the League One manager, this is a League One squad. Because in two of the last 3 seasons, we've been comfortably a top 10 squad pushing for the championship. The only 2 players that I can remember losing in that time, or 3, as one's just popped into my head now, is we've lost Gregory, we've lost in terms of leaving the club, we've lost Aloni and Malumbi, and we sold several for millions of pounds. This is Gary Rowett's squad. As much as you don't want to accept it, dear listeners, it is Gary Rowett's squad. Gary Rowett did have a summer, a truncated summer, but the same as every other football manager in the country. Now, that squad is not good enough, but he's the one that picks the squad. The performance isn't good enough, but he's the one who picks the players who put the performances in from day to day. That squad looks uninterested and not bothered, and that is not Millwall. Now, the format, I heard people say the formation was right. The formation's right if you win. And we're not playing football that suits the squad that we have. We're playing football to suit the squad that he wants. Now, that's brilliant and everything. That's lovely. That's great. I want to be a fucking millionaire, so I can't spend my money like I want to be a millionaire. It's beginning to become the same old story. One day we have hope in a weird way. We get a result on the road normally, not the Den. And they come back to the Den and they get pumped, you know. And to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result is madness. And despite formation changes and despite, you know, playing different players in different positions and false nines and wide wingers and forwards playing off of a three or a two or a one, the simple fact is these players are not good enough to play this system. The system that got them to where they were last season was based on a Malumbi and a pressing game and so on and so forth for Rowett. Now, if this Kiefenberg comes in, that we apparently might be getting, then if we play that system and we turn the corner, brilliant. But we can't keep picking Pierce. His legs have gone. We can't keep picking these players that just are no good to us. Pay them up. Offer them 6 months of their deal. Offer them 3 months of their deal. Get them out of the squad. Get them out of the club. Because they're draining you like a tap. It's like a drip, 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 drip wage-wise. And, you know, they're Skalak, people like that. You know, the drip, drip, drip. Just pay them up, get them out of the club and start again if you're going to back row it. If you're not going to back row it, then you need to get a fucking move on because you've left it another week and it's just not good enough, Millwall. There's something totally wrong from top to bottom in the club at the moment and things need to change. It's unacceptable. I'm finding it, you know, I've got my eye follow for the home games. I'm going to find it very difficult to keep pumping money up to watch this shit because I've had enough of it. Fuck off, Millwall.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall.
Recruitment side of what Aaron was saying, I think at the end of last season, when your whole recruitment team going into a summer, you sit down and you go, right, we have the best defence in the league, but statistically, we have a great goalkeeper, we have a great two centre-backs, maybe a third if we need it. We've got a good young centre-back in Hayden Muller coming through, who potentially we could risk alongside, you know, the likes of Cooper and Hutchinson and Murray Wallace, because they're really good mentors. I think Hutchinson, you can see how well he mentored Cooper to really take over from him.
Yeah.
And that's a really good environment. You've had a centre-back who's... You've got Alex Pearce, who's a veteran. You've got Hutchinson, who's just beyond his peak, I'd say, but a very long standing Millwall player who's done very, very well for the club. You've got Cooper, who is slightly younger, but has risen as a young player through the team. I think that's three centre-backs there who can nurture a great, what looks like a very exciting prospect for Millwall at centre-back. But at the moment, he just is in and out of the squad, doesn't really play at all, which is, I think, is an interesting one. But you sit down on that thing and you go, right, our strikers aren't very good.
No.
But it's very simple to go, right, our strikers aren't very good. What we need is a better striker to start getting goals. What you need to do is what you would imagine an analytics department, a recruitment department are doing. It's taking a step back and go, why aren't they very good? Oh, because we don't create any chances. We've got Jed Wallace, who, if he has a bad game, we do not create any chances. You look at the stats, you go, oh, Jed Wallace is good off the left, he's good off the right, but in the middle, we don't have anyone doing anything. Maybe we should bring someone in there. So to overlook that, I think, and, you know, getting Parrott, who is a gamble, and then the chant of the game yesterday being, you know, he's a striker for Tottenham. I don't think we've played him as a striker yet. You know, we've the left, we're playing behind a 10. He's a striker. And he's not got the confidence at the moment. He had bad injuries, but he's just kind of, he's exciting and he's a good young player. Let's just stick him in wherever and he'll be magical. It's like, that's not how it works. And I think we really, really need to figure out, or Rowett needs to figure out what he can make out of this squad. And that's why I think maybe going back to just get Matt Smith on for a bit, see if he can get some goals, because he was doing that last season when we were struggling. Getting him on, getting balls into the box, and it was winning us games.
Look, Nick, Gary Rowett is a defensive coach. He was a defender as a player, defender in the midfield as a player. He knows how to defend. That's what, I mean, look, before Christmas, Millwall's defence was the best in Europe.
Yes. That's gone out the window, Aaron, by the way.
That's fucking out the window, down the shit pan and back out the other end, mate. It's gone. Just forget about it. And that's purely because they're knackered. The core is knackered. As I mentioned yesterday on Twitter, they're tired. You know, you can't, Jake Cooper was puffing at the end, mate.
Yeah.
You know, he plays every game great. Yeah, lovely. Wonderful. It's a great stat to have. But you've got to look at the conditioning as well. This is a very, very difficult season where squad depth is one of the most important things you can have. And Millwall don't have squad depth. Just on to Gary Rowett, though. You know, yesterday, I think he set up really well there. The 4-2-3-1, I think he was let down. I just think that there were a bunch of headless individuals just running around. Very simple. There was no cohesion. You know, someone will make a run and the other person won't make a pass. Too many touches, Tom Bradshaw, too many just not interested, like just for aimless, headless running. Mm. That's exactly what it felt like. And it was a grand disappointment. Bristol City, you know what? They're a funny outfit because they're not even that good. They're not amazing, you know. They spend a lot of money every year. They recruit in a very scattergun approach. You know, you look at their squad and they've probably got, what, 40 players in their squad, 30 players in their squad, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of youth, granted, you know, a good core of youth coming through. But they have no real identity or style of play. Millwall are now sat with an identity which is defensive. It's defensive, defensive, defensive. And so we're sat here going, shit, we got no goals. Well, you know what? This is what the club brought in. Gary Rowett is a very, very good defensive coach. Coach is the word. Coach. I didn't say manager, I said coach, by the way.
Which is a different thing.
Very good defensive coach.
Yeah.
This is, you know, in the words of the Godfather, this is the business we have chosen, you know? Yeah. Like, you haven't gone out to get a Jokanović who's going to fucking win, lose or draw, play 4-3-3 and absolutely go for it, you know, and try and win a game by outscoring the opposition. This guy's going to try and win a game by shutting things down. And, you know, I think that Den Grauer plays a big, big part of it. Would Millwall have lost 3-0 yesterday if the crowd was there at the Den? I'm not sure. Would there be a bit of pressure from the crowd? Probably. I think playing in an empty ground is, especially the Den, it's a very strange place when it's empty.
It is. I mean, I did a little thing for one of the Bristol podcasts and they asked me the same point. And I said, well, there's something deeply empty about the Den with no one in it. More than any other ground. I could be looking at it myopically through our Millwall lens, but it just doesn't feel like the team don't look like a Millwall side to me. And the whole event doesn't look like a Millwall day out. It just isn't. There's no one there. So it's almost meaningless. I had to laugh just to try and inject a note of levity into it. But there's a post-match quote talking about the fact we are 1 week still left of the transfer window. And Gary Rowett said that we've put bids in for young players and we are trying to be proactive. And it just reminded me of one of my less interested end of year review conversations I used to have with my manager when I knew I hadn't really put much in and I was trying to invent things to say at the end of the year. It just had that kind of empty kind of quality to it. You're right to compare us to other clubs and QPR are a decent comparison, Aaron, because...
They shouldn't be.
No, I mean, but on the one hand, they're broke and we're broke too, but somehow they're pulling off deals. I mean, how is
Mate,
that?
Mate, they're broke.
How does that happen?
They're broker than broke. They're because of Les Ferdinand. Very simple. You've got Les Ferdinand, a man who's a football man, going out, getting deals done. Going out, getting Charlie Austin. Granted, you know what? Charlie Austin probably wouldn't come to Millwall. Actually, I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't. You know, he has a relationship with QPR.
Yeah,
and he wanted to play football. I had him on my podcast at work. He said I wanted to play football. You know, it was a quick decision. Sam Allardyce said that we've done a deal with QPR, and you know you can talk to them. Great, lovely, happy days. But if this Johansson deal goes through, that's a coup. That's an absolute coup. That you know he is a class act, and if anyone can turn around and say he wouldn't get in and really do very well in that Millwall side. I'm sorry, mate. You're on some real narcotics because that's bollocks. But then again, I look at the two signings that Cardiff made. Perry NG from Crewe. Good player.
Yeah, good that player, one exactly.
Good player. And the lad Waters as well. Max Waters, striker, scoring goals for fun. Good player. Like people, they're not quick off the mark. You know, they're not quick off the mark, and that is the biggest problem.
Not quick off the mark.
We've got London on our doorstep. That's the funny thing.
I know.
It's a London club, and you know, there's the old thing of players want to play in London because of the lifestyle. Oh, there you go. Someone's not selling this properly.
Yeah, definitely. I think that recruitment's like. I mean, it comes back to it, but. Yeah, I saw that when Cardiff signed Perry NG, you know, like there, he's, you know, one of the hottest tipped players coming out of that league. And, you know, he's been doing it really well for Crewe for a long time. And a lot of people would have been after him. And it's surprising, okay, not necessarily the position that we need, but those sort of players. And I agree with you, Aaron, that it's those sort of players that we need.
It's a depressing season. It seems endless, boys. I don't know how you're finding it from the professional point of view, but
want to go back to bed.
We've got 22 games of the season left. We've played 24. We are sitting in 16th position, thankfully, with a 9-point gap between us and Rotherham in the third relegation position. We're facing Watford on Tuesday night, which will be a tough game. They're sitting third in the table. Our aims, what should our season aim be? I mean, obviously survival in the Championship, number one. Get through to May and have the almost almighty clear out, the fire sale of all fire sales, get shot of half of this squad and start again. Is Gary Rowett up to that? Is our recruitment department up to that kind of task? Because it needs
it's not going to happen, Nick.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They're not going to get shot of half of the squad. And then you'll have a bullshit excuse like, oh, COVID, oh, money, oh, X, oh, Y, oh, Z. Mate, come on. Show some fucking ambition, guys. Show some ambition. Go look at clubs doing deals. Just look at what you've got around you. Unless they model themselves on a League One club. Of course. You can. And even then, no, Nick, you laugh.
No, I'm not. I'm laughing ironically in a way that men used to laugh before they went over the top of the trench in the First World War.
it's true. Maybe they think to themselves, oh, well, you know what?
We are a League One team.
That they you know, model themselves on the top end League One club. And, you know, even then, I'd say there's better players out there in League One that are doing it. There's much better players out there in League One.
Just to close us, chaps, as it is Sunday morning, you both got things you need to do. Neil Harris was sacked from Cardiff on midweek. I don't know. I mean, I think there's still probably a sentimental. I still find myself following his ups and downs, and I don't. It's a bit like an ex, isn't it? You know, that you still kind of check out on Facebook and see what's going on in their life. Do you think he has a managerial future at any other Championship clubs? Does he have a way forward, or is it League One, League Two for Neil?
It's such a weird one because no one, I think, expects him to go to Cardiff. I think financially and everything, that was a step up from having left Millwall. And I think it kind of blindsided everyone, but not like so quickly after, but also for him to get a job like that. Like, I think when it came out, people were talking about him to go down to League One or League Two, which it's a really odd one. I think his achievements warrant him a say in League, in the Championship. But I can't see anyone taking him.
No, the quality of the football under Neil Harris was no better than what we've got at the moment, at the end anyway. Although we did get some Blood and Thunder nights under him, didn't we?
No, of course we did. And I think...
Yeah, but I think atmosphere impacted on that a lot. I think atmosphere, passion, you know, when you have 15,000 screaming at you, like proper shouting, and the atmosphere that we all know, Nick, we all know the atmosphere that then can produce, that will drive players on. Let's be fair. Neil Harris, the only reason he got the Cardiff job is because he had a history with the club, a previous history with the club.
And the
fans liked him. And they thought, yeah, bring in a legend and hopefully it'll work. Well, it didn't work. They've pulled the trigger super quickly. Granted, they spent money, but Cardiff also got money to play with. They've brought Mick McCarthy in, another sort of uninspiring appointment for me. Maybe they think he'll be able to sort of just see them through the season, getting to the back end of the playoffs. But very simply, Millwall replaced Neil Harris with Neil Harris light. It's like, you know,
that's a great line. I like that.
It's true. Diet Neil Harris, like
Neil Harris.
You know, you've got someone who's stuck in a sense of play. And this is the frustration I see from fans on socials, is that they're pissed off with his tactics. They're pissed off with his tactics. Now, my question to fans very simply is, if you were to go out there and get a Danny Cowley or a Nathan Jones when he was available, would you be patient enough to play his attacking football for him to take 3 years to craft a side? And do you know what? Actually, fuck it. You want to talk about budgets? Talk about Luton Town. The biggest thing they've got is Mick Harford, literally and metaphorically.
Who had links with Millwall, of course, as well. He was on the coaching staff.
But he's a brilliant head of recruitment, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very good... He squeezes what he can out of their budget. They've got Reece Norton-Davis on loan. Brilliant. You know, real, really good player. There's another lad with a double-barreled name they've got. Ryan, you want to help me out?
No chance, mate.
Chumley Warner.
Reece Mogg. Last year as well, they got Izzy Brown from Chelsea on loan, who is...
Mate, fucking hell, like the recruitment. You know, they don't usually get it wrong. And it's because of Big Mick. He goes, he goes and finds players that can play in the manager system and that they can get and potentially sell on. Dewsbury Hall, the Yorkshire venue. The Yorkshire
sounds like a stately home, doesn't it, Dewsbury?
That's it. Mate, Leicester won him back. He's on loan from Leicester. Leicester won him back. James Bree, good right back.
You think as well, Aaron, like you say about selling on, they've got Jack Stacey, who went to Bournemouth in the Premier League.
The Luton Cafu.
Now who moved on, who's, you know, looking like going to be an England left-back. Like, who's the last player we saw? Well, George Saville. And I think that is a key sign of recruitment as well, where Millwall are a smaller team operating on a very low budget in the league. And so what you need to do to make money is to bring players in, develop them, and sell them on for money. That has to be your model. That has to be your way to operate. And
that's the Brentford model, isn't it? That's
Brentford have Brentford have money. Brentford have continental connections. Mm. Brentford have a club in Scandinavia that they, you know, sort of move players between. Brentford are a highly sophisticated operation. That's why if you phone them and ask them for a quote, they take the fuck off. Very simple. They don't want no one knowing about what goes on behind closed doors. Luckily, I know someone who actually was quite integral in the whole process. And he was, I actually went to school with him. Right. And he's now one of Jose Mourinho's main analysts at Spurs. Ironically, he's a massive gooner, which is, I could never do that. But yeah, Brentford are, we can't turn around and go, oh yeah, we want Mill to be like Brentford. Cool. Go and find a fucking owner like Matthew Benham, who's a fan. Who's going to plough money in, not give money, plough money. You know, they paid money for Mopay. They made money for Benrahma, money for Watkins. Yeah. But their negotiation to sell is shit hot. They've got like, you know, serious like businessmen in there. Businessmen and women. Jordan Belforts of this world. Right. Selling shit to people for big money. Very simple. And again, we sit here and we talk about budget. Again, I don't want to bang on about Luton Town. Cal Naismith, they've just brought in. Cal Naismith, utility man, on a free from Wigan. Do you know what? He'll do him a job. He'll do him a job. And they're not fashionable. They're not a good squad. But again, you buy a Ferrari, Nick, and you know, you're on low wages, you're not going to be able to fuel that Ferrari. You need to live within your means. And Millwall, they're trying to do something, and it's not working. And do you know what? I don't blame the manager. I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him. I just want to know what's going on behind the scenes. He's brought in his own, you know, his own recruitment guy now. Is it Cav? Is it Steve Kavanagh? Does he? I know, like he's a very corporate guy, and you know, granted, like he's a very intelligent man, and maybe he's trying to. He's being told by John Berylson, you know, you're not allowed to spend X, Y, Z. But they need to make the best of what they've got to try and compete.
There we are, dear listeners. I think we've reached a natural conclusion. Form is temporary, they say, and class is permanent. It seems our class is League One class as our permanent category. Anyway, there we are. Big thank you to Ryan Loftus for joining us this morning. Thank you, Ryan.
Cheers, Nick.
And huge thanks to Mr. Aaron Paul for leaving this sanctity of his bed to come online.
I've not left my sanctity. I'm still here.
He's still in bed.
No chance he's left the sanctity.
There's a mental image to leave the show with today. Aaron
Paul. Very quickly, lads. Just seen a tweet from quite a reputable source. Arsenal looking into a potential championship loan move for Reece Nelson this month. Fucking do it.
Get on it.
As my recently departed old man would say, give him the money, don't fuck around, don't try and do a deal, walk away. Yeah? Don't fuck around. He used to tell me that all the time. That's it. Don't fuck around. Just get it done.
Those are wise words, a nice way to leave the show. Big thank you to Aaron Paul. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. Until midweek, arrivederci Millwall.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.